Welcome in. I am just so thrilled you're joining us for this today.
Yeah, it's a huge topic we have lined up.
It really is. So today is March 5, 2026, and the mission of this deep dive is to unpack a completely fascinating and honestly somewhat terrifying new report we just got our hands on.
Right, the one from Tech and Industrial Analysis.
Exactly. It's their massive new report on the solid-state battery revolution.
Yeah.
And before we even get into the science, the geopolitics, and all the billions of dollars on the line, I actually have a very direct question for you, the listener.
It's the million-dollar question right now.
Are you right now currently shopping for an electric vehicle? Because if you are, you really, really need to hear this.
Absolutely.
Because according to the sources we're looking at today, buying an expensive, top-of-the-line EV with traditional liquid lithium-ion batteries right now, today, could actually be your worst financial mistake of the entire decade.
I mean, that is the stark, undeniable warning outlined in this Techin report. They describe the EV industry as currently traversing this sort of engineering valley of death.
Valley of death. Wow.
Yeah, we are basically caught right in the middle. We're suspended between the technology of today and this staggering, disruptive leap that is sitting just on the horizon.
Right.
And the overarching theme of this analysis is the utopian promise of solid-state batteries, or SSBs. The numbers the industry is throwing around, they were almost hard to believe.
They sound totally made up.
They really do. We are talking about a promised future where a standard commuter vehicle has a 1,000-kilometer range on a single charge.
Which is insane.
It refuels in under 10 minutes. And perhaps most fundamentally, it is mathematically incapable of catching fire.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because while that 1,000-kilometer range and the 10-minute charge sounds like an absolute dream for anyone who's, you know, ever had range anxiety on a road trip, the report makes it incredibly clear that getting there is a brutal uphill battle.
Oh, for sure.
Behind this media frenzy and all these shiny corporate press releases lies what they call an engineering hellscape. And underneath that, there is this silent, high-stakes proxy war playing out between automakers.
Yeah, the stakes are astronomical.
To really grasp those stakes, I had to reread the chemistry section of this report like 3 times because I just couldn't quite believe it. The report calls this the 1,000-kilometer sweet lie.
That's such a great phrase for it.
It is. So since most of our listeners already know the basics of how EVs work, you know that if you go out and buy a 2026 Tesla Model 3 or, say, a Porsche Taycan today, you are buying a vehicle powered by a liquid battery.
Right. The lithium ions are literally swimming through an organic liquid electrolyte.
Exactly. Swimming. But the uncomfortable truth I learned from this data is just how volatile that liquid actually is. It's highly flammable, and it's incredibly sensitive to temperature changes.
And the danger of that volatility is really the primary catalyst for this entire revolution. The report goes into granular detail about what happens in a severe collision.
Right. The worst case scenario.
Exactly. If a current generation vehicle is in a crash and the internal separator membranes of that battery rupture, the liquid allows a short circuit to occur.
And that leads to thermal runaway, right?
Yes, thermal runaway, a chemical chain reaction where the liquid can spontaneously detonate.
Which is terrifying.
It is. But the solid state solution entirely bypasses this hazard. The hazardous flammable liquid is just completely removed.
They just take it out.
Right. Instead, they replace it with a microscopic solid sheet. It's a lattice made of porous ceramic, glass, or polymer. And because the ions are migrating directly through a solid, non-flammable material, the risk of a crash-induced fire drops to absolute zero.
There's this wild example in the text that completely blew my mind. It states that you could literally take a heavy-duty power drill, pierce it right through the dead center of a solid-state battery pack, and it wouldn't ignite.
It physically can't.
It just can't. It completely neutralizes the thermal runaway threat. But, you know, as I was looking through the charts, it became really obvious that safety isn't the only reason these companies are pouring billions into this.
Not at all.
It's really about unlocking the ultimate power source.
What's fascinating here is the underlying chemical blockade that solid-state technology resolves. In the material science world, it's known as the dendrite problem.
The dendrite problem. Break that down for us.
Sure. So the absolute holy grail of battery chemistry is using pure lithium metal for the anode. That's simply because it yields the highest possible energy density of any known material.
Okay.
But engineers haven't been able to use pure lithium metal in current liquid batteries. During rapid charging cycles, pure lithium forms dendrites.
Which are like spikes, right?
Exactly. You can visualize them as these microscopic stalagmite-like spikes of metal. As you fast charge the battery, these stalagmites grow. Eventually, they act like microscopic needles that pierce the internal battery membrane, hit the liquid, and trigger that catastrophic short circuit we just talked about.
So the liquid battery just physically can't handle pure lithium without essentially stabbing itself from the inside out.
That is the structural limitation, yeah.
Yeah.
But when you replace that liquid with a solid ceramic electrolyte, that ceramic acts as an impenetrable physical wall. It quite literally crushes those lithium spikes before they can even grow. That single elemental swap replacing liquid with ceramic to allow for pure lithium metal is what unlocks the staggering leap in power.
And the numbers the report drops here are just unbelievable. This single chemical swap increases the energy density threshold by 45% compared to the absolute best current generation cells on the market today.
It's a massive jump.
Let's ground those numbers for a second so you can really picture it. The current Tesla 4680 liquid cell, which is widely considered a marvel of modern engineering, sits at roughly 260 watt-hours per kilogram.
Right.
Toyota's current solid-state prototype is pushing over 400 watt-hours per kilogram. Mm. To put that in everyday terms, you are getting nearly double the energy in the exact same physical weight.
You could build a car that goes twice as far without making it an ounce heavier.
Exactly. And it remains completely stable at temperatures up to 250 degrees Celsius.
Which naturally brings us to the corporate battlefield. Because the global race to commercialize this technology isn't just a friendly scientific endeavor.
Oh, definitely not.
The ticket analysis frames this as a fundamental clash of corporate strategies. You have Toyota's century-old legacy of absolute uncompromising perfectionism versus the highly pragmatic, rapid-scale strategy of Chinese manufacturers like BYD.
The duel of the titans. I love this section of the report. Let's look at Toyota's position first. Because Toyota notoriously took a lot of heat over the last few years for lagging behind Tesla and others in the pure electric vehicle race.
They took a ton of criticism for that.
But according to this deep dive, that wasn't incompetence at all. It was a calculated delay. They have essentially wagered their entire automotive legacy on solid-state architecture. They aren't trying to catch up to the current generation. They're trying to skip it entirely.
Right, leapfrog the whole industry.
Exactly. Toyota currently holds over 1,300 unique patents, specifically for sulfide-based ceramic electrolytes, developed in deep partnership with Panasonic. Internally, Toyota claims their prototypes are already comfortably breaching the 1,200-kilometer mark.
But they are being hyper-conservative about it.
So conservative. They flatly refuse to release a beta test vehicle to the public until it is absolutely unconditionally flawless.
And we can contrast that extreme perfectionism with BYD's approach.
Yeah.
BYD has deployed a brutally aggressive, pragmatic roadmap. They looked at the pure solid-state timeline, saw the engineering hurdles, and basically refused to wait for a 100% solid chemistry to mature.
They just went for it.
They did. Throughout this year, 2026, BYD and competitors like NIO pivoted hard into semi-solid-state batteries. This is a deliberate chemical compromise. These battery packs retain roughly 5 to 10% of their liquid electrolyte.
Hold on, I have to jump in here because when I read that, it felt like a massive contradiction to me.
How so?
Well, if the entire point of this revolution is getting rid of the liquid to stop fires and crush those lithium dendrites, why on earth would BYD deliberately keep 5% of the liquid in there? Doesn't that completely defeat the purpose of the technology?
It seems counterintuitive at first glance, I agree, but it's actually a brilliant shortcut. By retaining just a small percentage of liquid, they use it to lubricate the ion transfer within the cell.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it acts as a bridge. This compromise allows them to bypass the absolute hardest, most expensive engineering hurdles of pure solid-state manufacturing.
And it gets cars on the road faster.
Exactly. Because of that compromise, Chinese manufacturers were able to start shipping 800-kilometer range sedans directly to consumers immediately. The report notes this pragmatic step permanently halved their production costs compared to Toyota's elite laboratory prototypes. BYD is capturing the market today, while Toyota is aiming to dominate tomorrow.
It's a fascinating split in strategy.
It really is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the strategy extends far beyond just the assembly line. The report issues a severe supply chain warning that could upend the entire industry.
The mining aspect, right?
Yeah. Yes. Let's assume Toyota's conservative approach pays off, and they architect the absolute perfect solid-state battery tomorrow morning. They still face a geopolitical roadblock. They have to navigate a supply chain heavily dominated by Chinese mining cartels.
Right.
The reality on the ground in 2026 is that China, unilaterally controls over 80% of global graphite refining and rare earth processing facilities. The elemental materials required for these next generation batteries are overwhelmingly centralized.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because inventing the perfect battery in a sterile university laboratory is one thing. Actually scaling that up, making 2 million faultless automotive grade packs a year that everyday people can actually afford.
Yeah, totally different.
The report calls that a logistical nightmare. And there are two formidable physical hurdles they have to overcome. First is the expansion problem. This is exactly why Toyota's initial target release date of 2025 was forcefully pushed back to 2028 or even 2030.
It comes down to elemental physics.
It does.
Yeah.
When you rapid charge a battery, you're forcefully cramming lithium ions into the lattice.
Mm.
In a liquid battery, the fluid just sloshes out of the way. You know, it displaces naturally. But in a solid battery, all those ions cramming in cause the actual physical battery to expand.
Right.
I think the best way to visualize this is imagining someone trying to blow up a balloon inside a rigid ceramic vase.
That is a perfect analogy. Because the solid electrolyte is made of brittle ceramic or glass, that severe physical expansion simply cracks the battery apart from the inside.
Which ruins it.
Completely. And the brute force engineering fix that companies are currently using to prevent this is incredibly cumbersome. They are forced to bolt heavy mechanical compression rigs directly into the EV chassis.
Just to hold it together.
Exactly. They physically squeeze the battery together in a vice grip so it doesn't shatter during charging. Of course, adding heavy steel compression rigs immediately negates a significant portion of the weight advantage that solid-state batteries were supposed to provide in the first place.
It's a complete paradox. You invent this miraculously lighter battery, but then you have to wrap it in a heavy steel cage just so it survives being plugged into a wall.
The massive headache.
And if that wasn't enough of a manufacturing headache, you also have the terrifying chemical reality of building these things. You have to manufacture them in what the report calls hyper dry rooms.
Yeah, the factory floor conditions required for this are extreme. Those high potential sulfide based solid electrolytes that Toyota holds all those patents for, they react violently when exposed to simple atmospheric humidity.
Just regular air.
Just regular ambient moisture. If the raw materials come into contact with even a trace amount of moisture in the air, they instantly synthesize hydrogen sulfide gas.
Oh, wow.
And for those unfamiliar, that is a highly toxic, potentially lethal gas that famously smells of rotten eggs. To prevent catastrophic incidents on the assembly line, the entire gigafactory must operate within absolute zero humidity parameters.
Try to imagine the scale of that. You are trying to construct a cathedral-sized factory room, large enough to pump out millions of car batteries a year, and you have to keep the humidity at absolute zero.
It's mind-boggling.
The report states that constructing these massive hyper-dry rooms literally triples the initial capital expenditure of building a battery plant. The engineering required just to build the building itself is staggering. It's no wonder these cars are going to be so expensive at launch.
Which is precisely why the analysis pivots so sharply in its next segment, because the most immediate, tangible impact of the solid-state narrative isn't chemical at all, it is economic.
Right into the wallet.
Exactly. We are witnessing the beginnings of the Osborne effect. This is an economic phenomenon where widespread consumer awareness of an impending revolutionary technological leap causes those same consumers to immediately cancel their orders for current generation products.
Let's bring this right back to you, the listener. Think about the scenario this data lays out. Why would you flush $60,000 down the drain today on a 2025 liquid-based EV? You wouldn't. A car that, by the way, loses up to 30% of its range the second the weather drops below freezing or gets extremely hot. Especially when you know that just a few years from now, in 2028, you can buy a vehicle that will weigh 500 kilograms less, drive 1,000 kilometers on a single charge, and recharge in the time it takes to buy a cup of coffee.
The value proposition completely flips.
It does. The Tech and Analysis uses a brilliant analogy here. They say the heavy, volatile electric cars of today will soon face the exact same bleak obsolescence as heavy CRT tube televisions.
That's a great comparison.
It made me laugh when I read it because I vividly remember nearly throwing my back out in college carrying a 32-inch Sony tube TV up three flights of stairs.
We've all been there.
The second I saw a flat screen, I never looked back. Nobody wanted a tube TV ever again. That is exactly what is about to happen to liquid lithium-ion cars.
And the ripple effect of that consumer realization is devastating for the automotive market. The report explicitly warns of plummeting resale values. The exact microsecond that Toyota or BYD ships the first true commercial batch of solid-state sedans, the secondary used car market for current liquid-ion vehicles is projected to collapse.
Just bottom out completely.
Yes. In fact, the data shows it's already happening behind the scenes. Major fleet managers and massive European leasing firms are looking at these exact same projections, and they are already aggressively factoring this future depreciation into their 2026 financial models.
They see the writing on the wall.
They know the cars they are purchasing today are going to be technological dinosaurs in just 3 or 4 years.
It completely changes the math on buying a car right now.
Yeah.
But I want to look at where this technology is actually going to be deployed first, because the report takes us to some extreme environments to show why this isn't just a luxury upgrade for people who want to drive cross-country without stopping.
Geography plays a huge role here.
It really does. Let's imagine you are driving in the Middle East, say Dubai or Khuzestan, in the middle of a blistering 50 degrees Celsius summer heat wave. In those conditions, current liquid lithium-ion batteries are in constant danger.
They struggle immensely.
They are forced to run their active liquid cooling compressors continuously. They're basically blasting air conditioning onto the battery pack itself, simply to prevent the liquid inside from detonating. This sheer parasitic thermal drain from running the cooling system constantly can slash a vehicle's practical range by up to 30% during the summer months.
It is an incredible inefficiency born out of necessary safety. But as the report details, solid-state batteries completely flip that paradigm. Because they don't contain volatile liquids, solid-state batteries are essentially thermally immune to ambient heat.
That is wild.
They operate flawlessly at ambient temperatures approaching 90 degrees Celsius without requiring any of that heavy, complex, energy-draining liquid thermal management plumbing. For markets across the Persian Gulf and the broader Middle East, the transition to solid-state architecture is framed not as a premium feature, but as an absolute environmental necessity.
But getting all those solid-state cars on the road introduces an infrastructure problem that honestly left me stunned. And this is the paradox of that promised 8-minute charge time.
This raises an important question. How does the current grid actually support this utopian vision?
Right.
The marketing promise sounds incredible, recharging a massive 100 kilowatt hour battery pack in under 8 minutes. But the mathematics of that energy transfer are brutal. Accomplishing that demands ultra-fast DC superchargers, outputting in excess of 600 kilowatts of power per vehicle.
I want to translate that 600 kilowatts into something we can all visualize. To put that in perspective, a single car pulling 600 kilowatts is roughly equivalent to turning on every single electrical appliance in 600 average homes all at the exact same moment.
Just for one car.
Just for one car.
Now, consider the aging electrical grids across many nations, including those Middle Eastern regions we just discussed, which already suffer from rolling blackouts during peak summer loads.
It's a recipe for disaster.
If just 10 of these solid-state vehicles pull into a highway charging station and plug in simultaneously, that is 6 megawatts of instantaneous synchronized draw. That kind of localized power spike will physically melt down the local electrical grid.
10 cars plugging in at once could literally take down a neighborhood's power grid. So the infrastructure reality is that we can't just plug these new superchargers into the existing power lines and call it a day.
Not even close.
The report concludes that to support the solid-state revolution, charging depots are fundamentally going to have to evolve. They can't just be a plug in the ground. They have to become autonomous power plants. They will need to be equipped with their own massive, utility-scale energy storage systems just to buffer the immense power demands from the grid.
It's a total paradigm shift for infrastructure.
So what does this all mean? Let's look at the official Tikhonov strategic verdict to wrap this all up. The dream of a flawless 1,000-kilometer solid-state battery is real, and it is undoubtedly materializing by the turn of this decade.
It is coming.
But it is not going to arrive cheaply, and it won't be universal right away. As of today, in 2026, Chinese titans like BYD have masterfully forged a pragmatic middle ground by utilizing semi-solid architectures, while companies like Toyota are burning immense amounts of capital chasing absolute perfectionism.
The tortoise and the hare, essentially.
Exactly. The ultimate takeaway from the analysts is this. For you, the everyday consumer, purchasing a fully priced conventional electric vehicle right now represents serious financial exposure. exercising patience, or strategically buying a plug-in hybrid, a PHEV remains the most financially sound tactic you can take until the ceramic revolution actually hits showroom floors around 2028.
It's a fascinating transitional period, and it leaves us with one incredibly profound implication to consider moving forward.
Let's hear it.
If the solid-state revolution requires future charging stations to essentially operate as their own autonomous power plants with massive utility-scale battery storage, are we about to see automotive companies and roadside gas stations inadvertently morph into decentralized energy monopolies that could eventually rival our traditional power grids?
That is a wild thought to leave on. A complete reimagining of who actually controls our power in the future. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. It's been an incredible journey through the chemistry, the economics, and the reality of how we are going to drive in the next decade. Remember to keep questioning the world around you, keep looking for the facts behind the hype, and we will catch you on the next deep dive. Take care.